I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord's feet of my spiritual master's divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada so kindly opened my eyes with the torch light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we are completely dependent on his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So, first I'd like to talk about the Tulsi Shalagram Vivad. Really quickly, I'm going to tell the story because I think that's appropriate on this particular day. And just to refer to my notes, because it's going to go rather quickly, I'm going to leave some of the parts out of this. So, there was a great king named Dharmabhaja, and his wife Madhavi gave birth to an expansion of Lakshmi after 100 celestial years in the lady's womb. Wow. And her name was Tulsi. And she had lotus flower mark on the foot. Her eyes were like lotus. Her lips were like bimba fruit. Palms, the soles of the palms were red and navel deep. And three folds in the stomach, a halo, and a white complexion, champaka. That's interesting. Then Tulsi, and we'll tell the story why Tulsi got there in the beginning. She goes to Badrinath to perform austerities to get Krishna as her husband, and she does the austerities for 100,000 celestial years. That's a lot. For 20,000 years, fruits and water. 30,000 years, just dry leaves. If you want Krishna as your husband, you have to do that. 40,000 years, air. 10,000 years, nothing, and on one leg. And after that period of time, Lord Brahma came. And it was explained, she explained that in the past she was a gopi, it was a partial expansion of Srimati Radharani. And she got intimate with Krishna and Radharani got angry. And Krishna said, this is my arrangement. You will take birth in India and marry my expansion, Narayan. So Brahma told her that you will marry Shankachuda first, who is Sudam, who was attracted to you in Goloka, and you are both will be Japti Smarana, which means you'll remember your past life in Goloka Vrindavan, or past nature in Goloka Vrindavan. And Shankachuda will perform austerities to get you as his wife, and later on, Narayan will accept you, and you will become the Tulsi plant known as Vrindavani. Actually, all this is predicted for it. And Tulsi asked for a mantra so that she wouldn't be afraid of Lord of Radharani, because she'd been previously cursed by Radharani. So she got the 16-letter Radha mantra, and by the chanting of the mantra, she will become dear to Radharani, and Radharani will approve of everything. So then Tulsi worshipped Radha for 12 years, but then Kamadev came to her. Kamadev is Cupid. And he has his arrows of form, touch, taste, smell, etc. And when he hits you, you're finished. So, anyway, as a sannyasi, I'm not appropriate. It's not appropriate to talk about it. So, Kamadev came to her, and she saw Shankachuda in the dream. And the interesting thing about Shankachuda, here's his family history. He was Sudam before, but he was born. Here's the family: Kashyapa and Danu had one son named Vipachiti. His son was Damba, was a devotee of Vishnu. Damba went to the forest to perform austerities for 100,000 years, chanting a Hare Krishna mantra. And effulgence came from his head, and all the demigods came there, and Vishnu went to Damba and said, what blessing do you want to have? Damba said, I want an invincible son who's your devotee, who conquers everything. And he got the blessing. And the wife of Damba became pregnant, and Sudama was born as Shankachuda. And so Shankachuda was performing austerity. Lord Brahma appeared before him and blessed him and said that you will be invincible to all the demigods and marry Tulsi. And Lord Brahma gave him this amulet of Sri Krishna, which is known as Sarvamangalaya, and instructed him that if you keep this amulet with you, you will never die. And you should also go and marry Tulsi. So he approaches Tulsi, who is performing austerities, and Tulsi tests him. She says, don't you understand? You can't trust me. The nature of women. And then he responds, that is only certain women in passion and ignorance. So sometimes people use these different expressions as a means to discriminate against ladies, isn't it? But actually, there are women in goodness, passion, and ignorance, and there are men in goodness, passion, and ignorance. And I don't trust men who are in ignorance or passion either, because they're dangerous, and they drink too much. So, Lord, and not water. Lord, so Sankachuta said, Lord Brahma sent me, let's get married immediately. And they had this very easy marriage called the Gandharva marriage. And he said, actually, I'm Sudam, and you're Tulsi from the spiritual world. Brahma appeared, and Brahma said, let's do the Gandharva marriage. And in the future, you will both return to the spiritual world, and Tulsi will get Krishna as her husband. So the couple enjoyed for many, many years. It's described like 4,300,000 years. That's a lot of years. And he gets complete control of the heavenly kingdoms. The gods, there's the demigods, all go to Lord Brahma. Brahma goes to Shiva. They go to Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha, and Lord Narayan explains everything. He explains about Sankachuta and Sankachuta Sudam. He was cursed by Radha because Krishna one time was flirting with another girl, Viraja. And Radha cursed her to become the river, Viraja. And Radha started yelling at Krishna. This is the left-handed nature of Srimati Radharani. She can even chastise Krishna. Krishna remained silent, but Sudam, defending his friend, started rebuking Radharani, and therefore Radharani cursed him to be born in the womb of a demon. These are all pastimes. Try to understand, when people come from the spiritual world, they come to serve Krishna because Krishna likes to do pastimes in this material world with his devotees. Krishna does not fight with ordinary rascals usually. He loves to interact and exchange these mellows. The Nectar Devotional describes about the 7 indirect mellows or rasas and the 5 direct mellows or rasas. And Krishna loves to do that with his devotees. Otherwise, if someone's not a devotee, many times he treats him like Kalyavana was treated. Kalyavana was just a plain old rascal, a devotee rascal. And Krishna wanted to kill him, but Krishna didn't kill him directly. He lured him into a cave where this great fighter was, Muchukunda, and Muchukunda killed him by looking at him because Kalyavana woke Muchukunda up from his long sleep. Anyway, that's a different story. So anyway, Sudam was crying, and Radharani actually felt sad that she had cursed Sudam. And she tried to stop it, but Krishna explained, actually, this is my plan, so this pastime will take place. And actually, in less than a moment, you're going to return anyway. Now, the interesting thing is the time we experience in this world is completely different than in spiritual time. In fact, in the spiritual world, time is absent, or the material time is absent. It's prominent by its absence. So there's no question of actually being gone from the spiritual world. It's like this, something like that. So anyway, just like when we go back to the spiritual world, or let's say if we go back to the spiritual world, hopefully, we won't actually consider this to be of any time. Although it's a long time now. When you're suffering, things take a long time. Like when you go to the dentist, then to say this will just take 5-10 minutes and it's not going to be any pain, and I think we've all experienced it doesn't take 5 minutes. It takes 5 minutes with Lord Brahma. So it's very painful. So anyway, so he goes, and so in the meantime, Lord Narayan gives this trident to Lord Shiva to kill Sankachuta. Shiva gets ready to attack Sankachuta, and he sends his envoy to challenge Sankachuta. So Lord Shiva is accompanied by Kartikeya, the Vasus, the Ditchas, Indra, Agni, and even Bhadra Kali. And he's challenged Sankachuta. Sankachuta informs Tulsi, his wife, that we're going to have a battle. And she sees the future coming. But he preaches to her and tells her that in the future, don't worry, we'll be back with Radha and Krishna. So he installs his son, Suchandra, as king, and he goes out with 300,000 Akshahini forces. That's a lot of people. And so Shankachuta comes out and he sees Lord Shiva in meditation, bows to him, and he gets blessings from Lord Shiva and Bhadrakali. Lord Shiva explains the past of Shankachuta. You are a Vaishnava and you should return. Says to Lord Shiva, he should not favor the demigods. Let's fight. And then the war begins. First, the demigods are defeated. Then Kartikeya and Kali enter the battle, and Kali hurls all sorts of weapons. But all of them fail. Shankachuta does not fire any weapons at Kali. And she gets her trident ready to kill Shankachuta. But Kali is stopped by a voice and reminds her of Lord Brahma's boon. And she desists and devours millions of demons in the meantime. Oh my God. Wow. The only demons that were alive were those that crawled out of her mouth while she was chewing. This is a story in the Padma Purana. Very interesting story. Lord Shiva enters the battle. Shankachuta offers obeisances and they fight for 1 year. Lord Shiva grabs his trident. The heavenly voice tells him, don't. I'm reminding you that Shankachuta has to be bereft of his amulet, and the chastity of Tulsi has to be broken or violated. Shiva wants to see Vishnu. Vishnu appears, agrees to help, and then he takes the form of an old Brahmin and begs Shankachuta for the amulet. And Shankachuta, being very Vedic, gives him the amulet. Then Lord Vishnu takes the form of Shankachuta and goes to Tulsi's palace, saying that Lord Brahma broke up the fight and mediated between us, so everything is all right. And then he has a relationship with Tulsi Devi and breaks her chastity in this particular case. And in the meantime, Lord Shiva fires his trident, which is named Vijaya, which is as bright as 100 suns, 14,000 cubits long, a cubit is like this, 100 cubits wide, and Shankachuta sees it coming. He goes into a yoga posture, meditates on Krishna's feet. He's killed, and his bones are tossed in the sea, and the bones ultimately become conscious. Holy conscious, water in the conscious, sacred like a sacred river. It's offered to all except for Lord Shiva. A conch blown indicates Lakshmi is there, except by people who eat meat. The people who eat meat, they blow a conch shell, Lakshmi is annoyed and goes elsewhere. Remember that. Stay away from conch shells. Unless you follow the regular principles. So the conch indicates Hari and Lakshmi are there, and all inauspicious things disappear. So Sudama regains his original form with jewels, flute, chariot, coward boys, and they all fly back to Goloka. And Radha and Krishna, very happy to see him back, took him on their laps. And Tulsi discovers the deception she's been subjected to, and she gets very angry. She says, who are you? I shall curse you. Lord Vishnu assumes his real form as Lord Vishnu. Tulsi says, you are like a stone. And here's the quote. I'm just going to read the direct quote. She says, O Lord, you are like a stone. You are merciless. You violated my chastity by deception. And by this means, you have killed my husband. O Lord, you are merciless. Yes, your heart is like a stone. Therefore, I curse you to become a stone. Those who call you holy are undoubtedly wrong. Your devotee committed no offense, yet for the sake of others, you killed him. Why? And then Lord Narayan explains everything, and then there's so many benedictions we don't have time to read. One worships the Shalagram Shila, or one worships Tulsi, one gets so many benedictions. So this is a pastime. So one may ask, you know, what about all this cruelty and violating chastity and all these other things? Why are devotees subject to all these difficulties? Because they're tasting rust. Remember one thing. All these devotees, that is Tulsi and Shankachuta and Sudama, are actually remembering Krishna every minute. And Krishna and the devotees enjoy different rasas. And now we're talking about indirect rasas, such as being afraid, being angry. Like you see Radharani in the spiritual world, she's getting angry. And the coward boys, sometimes they're afraid when Krishna jumps on the heads of the Kaliya serpent, goes into the water first, and to attack the Kaliya serpents. So the devotees enjoy these. One may ask, why? How can you actually enjoy being afraid?
Well, I remember when I was young, my parents would take me to a horror house.
Where was the horror house?
Washington, D.C. No, the horror house. Sorry about that. In an amusement park, and you have all these ghosts jump out at you. Has anyone been to any of those things here? I'm sure some of you have gone to Disneyland or Disney World and you've seen them. And it was fun being afraid, or going on a roller coaster. It was fun being afraid. And then sometimes you see a film and you get angry. So enjoyment means to experience these different emotions. And in the spiritual world and in connection with Krishna, even in this world, the emotions are always very intense. But they're always centered on Krishna. Remember, Tulsi is always thinking of Krishna. She's Jati Smarna. And Shankarachuna is always thinking of Krishna. There's no question. There's no question of anything else happening. So even these devotees getting angry with Krishna and cursing with Krishna is enjoyment for Krishna and enjoyment for the devotee who's doing it. Just like we have devotees who did the Lalita Madhava the other day. And Lalita Madhava, there's some anger there. Rukmini, those of you who are in the Lalita Madhava, was getting extremely angry because Satyabhama was there and she was fooling around with Krishna in Navar Vrindavan, right? But she's enjoying that anger. In this material world, when we get angry at someone, because they shouldn't fool around with anybody, but if we get angry with someone because they do something, it's not enjoyable, it's misery. We shouldn't really equate the experiences we have in this world with the experiences they have in the spiritual world. Although they appear similar, but the spiritual realm, and even when the devotees come down to the material realm, this is all spiritual emotions, spiritual bodies, spiritual interactions, and all completely 100% centered on Krishna. It's very important to understand this. So this pastime is a source of ecstasy both for Tulsi, Shankarachuna, and Lord Vishnu. It's not that any of them are suffering. Even when they cry being cursed by Radha, this is actually enjoyment. Now, how that is, we cannot understand as long as we're here in this material world and material consciousness. But it's a very relishable pastime for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me turn off my phone so people can't text me. So, now we're going to talk about initiation. So we have several devotees taking initiation, several devotees I'm giving initiation to, and several devotees who've taken initiation from Radha Govinda Maharaj, and will be taking their vows today. So what is initiation? Of course, the word initiation sometimes means to begin. But one's actual devotional service begins with the initial faith that one has in Krishna consciousness or in the existence of God. Adoshrada. And that's the first point, that one has to have faith at least that there's God. That's why Srila Prabhupada stressed very much the scientific preaching to convince people that life actually comes from God, designed by God, rather than life comes from matter. And if any of you are interested, I've done several presentations on this, scientific presentations on this. Because that's the initial faith. Once one believes that there's God, then Brahmanda Brahmate Konna Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. Then what happens? God, and really prays to God, not only believes in the existence, but prays to become a servant, God sends his representative. I remember before I became a member of the Krishna Conscious Movement, I was about 17. I didn't join at 17, but I would pray to God regularly, please God, let me see or understand who you are, and let me serve you. And then God, who, if you don't know his name, is Krishna, he sent Prabhupada. You know, one day I was listening to the radio, and there was Prabhupada singing, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. My whole life changed at that particular point. So nothing happens by accident. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by the mercy of the Lord, one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, one gets the Lord, one gets Krishna. So So anyway, I go Shraddha. And then by association, people ask, how do you develop faith? By association. Ado Shraddha. The ta saru sango ta. So the faith is just initial faith in the beginning in the existence of God, or maybe in the Vedic literatures. And then by saru sango ta, the faith becomes strengthened. These are different stages in devotional service. And then by the faith being strengthened, one takes the sadhus as one's role models, or a role model, if it happens to be singular rather than plural. And then one does what? Bhajana Kriya. And part of this Bhajana Kriya, very important part, is taking initiation. Now, why is initiation important? Because you've already gotten sadhu sangha and shraddha, you know, little shraddha. It's important because initiation represents commitment. That's why, you know, it's beginning, it's a commitment, just like marriage. You know, nowadays, of course, in America and even in India, people don't take their commitments so seriously, or people don't even make commitments. I was speaking to one of my disciples, who's getting married tomorrow, and he found a nice girl to get married to. He didn't want to marry anyone from the city in India. You know, he's in India. He said, because none of the girls are making commitments, or you know, they're have this bad Western style training there. Nothing wrong with the West, but you know, in the West we do not stress commitments. Promises are made to be broken. We cross our fingers every time we make a promise, so we don't have to keep it. So, you know, people just don't take it seriously. So initiation, the essence of initiation, or the essence of a marriage or an engagement, which we had today for some nice devotees, is a commitment, a promise, you know, which is dhridapatta, an unbreakable promise or commitment that, you know, I'm going to. So this is actually the beginning, like the beginning of marriage is the, you know, the commitment. It's not just like the breaking of the wine bottles. It's like we had a devotee here go to a marriage, not a Hare Krishna marriage, and people were, anyway, drunk. So that has nothing to do with it. And even we have so many rituals during initiation and during marriage, but the essence is we're making a promise before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, before the devotees, and that's why it's called an initiation, because it really strengthens it. And if one takes a vow to do something, makes a promise to do something, it keeps one on the straight and narrow path. You know, we vow. So, all right, so what the vow at initiation, obviously, is the four regulated principles. And I think everybody knows them. I think just about everybody here follows them. No intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex. And the chanting of 16 rounds ends, as Prabhupada would do it, during every initiation, he would talk about the 10 offenses against chanting. And that is, and I'll go really quickly through them because it's important for the devotees to avoid these offenses. Of course, the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who dedicate their lives to propagation of the holy name of the Lord, because that's a mad elephant offense. If you're cultivating devotional service, it's like a bhakti lata beach. It is a bhakti lata beach. It's like taking an elephant into your garden and just like destroying everything. That whole creeper of devotion that's meant to pierce the coverings of the material universe and enter into the spiritual world. So the second offense is, which some people here may be subjected to, which is to consider the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Demigods are servants of Lord Vishnu, Ekaleshwara Krishna, Arasapta Vritya. Third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. One should not follow the spiritual master blindly. One has a right to discuss different things and present the point that you can't do a particular thing. Like if Prabhupada said, you go to the North Pole and preach to the penguins, or South Pole, sorry, and preach to the penguins, anyway, you could have some objections to that. One time a devotee, it's an interesting story, Prabhupada was sending one devotee to China, and I'm not going to tell the whole story. He said, you should go to China because, anyway, this devotee was doing certain things in America. Anyway, I think you know the story. And he said, China, Prabhupada, basically he was objecting to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada ultimately laid down the law and said, all right, if you don't want to go to China, all you can do is stay here in Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna, taking all the other service away from you. So he agreed to go to China. And because of that, we have a big Chinese mission right now with so many millions or maybe hundreds of thousands of Chinese devotees. So one should obey the spiritual master, but one has a right to have a discussion with the spiritual master. And then what next offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. And we avoid these offenses. These are things to avoid. You can also take all these offenses in a positive way. Instead of blaspheming, you should glorify. Instead of blaspheming devotees, you should glorify devotees. The Vedic literatures. You should serve the spiritual master. Follow his instructions. Anyway, so there's a positive side, a way to take each offense instead of just taking it as a negative or a do not. And then the next offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to the imagination. They're not imagination. Krishna's there in his holy names. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Puna Shiva Vichabukto Vinatvam Namanamino. The next offense is to give some crazy interpretation of the unholy names. There are bona fide interpretations, like Krishna means to attract, Na means Ananda, and also to negate the material miseries. That's true. Krishna, and is also non-different from Krishna. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. And the next offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting. It's like sometimes the Catholics, they have this confession once a week. Or in the religion that I was brought up in, we have confession once a year. It's actually better. That's more efficient if you can just save up all your sins for once a year. So, of course, we should still confess to God, but that doesn't mean we keep doing the same thing, confess and are forgiven, or just keep chanting and think we're going to be forgiven. So one has to be very careful not to commit sins on the strength of chanting. The next offense is to consider chanting to be like other rituals, like karmakanda rituals, etc. And even in Krishna consciousness, we do many things that can be considered rituals, like our style of dress. These are all not essential. You can find pure devotees of the Lord who wear pants sometimes. Right? Advaita Chandra. So, so these are not essential items, but they're helpful. It's not, I mean, I'm not against devotees. They're helpful sometimes to remember Krishna, like tilak, neck beads, all these things are essential, are helpful in remembering Krishna. They're actually adjuncts. But the chanting of Hare Krishna should not be compared to any of these other activities. Chanting of Hare Krishna is a yuga dharma. So it's not a ritual. It's not a ritual. Because it's not something you give up. Just like, for example, I'm a sannyasi. Well, I'm dressed as a sannyasi. So it's in the spiritual world, I give it up. I have to give it up. If I go back to the spiritual world and say, Krishna, I'd still like to be a sannyasi here. Krishna's going to say, no, sir. You're not allowed in here. But, you know, it's helpful. It's helpful to be in Krishna conscious for me, not for everybody. And so, but eternal things are things like chanting the Lord's holy names, or dressing the deities, things like that. These are eternal activities that go on in the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, we're always chanting. Okay. And the next offense is to instruct the faithless about the glories of the holy name. That means whenever we talk to people, we should ascertain where they're at, what they're ready to hear. As it says in the Bible, Jesus Christ said, I have much to tell you, but you cannot bear to hear it. So we have to be really careful what we tell people. And not that we're hiding anything, that's not the point. But, you know, if you tell people too much about Krishna, you know, okay, you have to surrender to Krishna. You know, imagine you go out on the street and you say, you have to surrender to Krishna. And if you're eating meat, fish, and eggs, you're a demon. And that's what they did to me. I wasn't eating meat, fish, or eggs. But when I first joined, went into a Hare Krishna temple, they told me that I was a demon. And, you know, I looked at my teeth. Weren't fangs, because the dentist had taken out my wisdom teeth. So I didn't feel like a demon. They said, but if you don't join immediately, you're going to be as short as a dwarf, living underground, eating human flesh. Kali Yuga's coming. Jackals, the she-jackals are vomiting fire. That's a quote from the Bhagavatam. And I said, get me out of here. So it took me 2 more years to join the Hare Krishna movement because of that preaching. So we have to be careful to attract people, not to push people, but to attract, like Krishna's attracted. Krishna, he attracts. He doesn't push, he attracts. Okay. And also the last offense is to not have complete faith in the holy name and maintain material attachments even after understanding some of the instructions in the matter. So it's not offensive to have material attachments, or else all of us would be big offenders. But we should try our best to engage in the process of anartha nivritti, which is praying to Krishna. Ayananda tanuja kinkaram patita mam vishane bhavam buddha. Kripaya tava parapankaja stita kinlisa drasam chintya. Krishna, I'm your eternal servant. Please pick me up and fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. I'm trapped in this horrible material world. You know, so it requires some humility to pray like that. So yes, we should be aware of our anarthas, unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and pray to Krishna. Try our best. Like if you have dirt in your house, clean the house. Just don't lament. Don't be like I was when I was a young boy. I would just sweep the dirt out of the rug. Because I was a very rebellious kid. You know, I didn't never like to do what my mother said. So anyway, and then also Bhaktivinoda Thakur says underlying or surrounding all these 10 offenses is the inattention while chanting. So how does one become attentive while chanting? It's important, at least from my particular perspective, to have a sankalpa, to understand why you were chanting, what you're chanting. You know, why you're chanting. Not simply, I have to chant because I've made a vow to chant 16 rounds a day, and Yamaraj will come and get me if I don't chant my 16 rounds today. Anyway, so it's not a good reason, and you won't be in touch with the holy names. But, you know, whatever the reason is, it's from your heart. I'm chanting because, in the beginning, you may be chanting, as Krishna says, people come to him because they're in misery. People come to him because they want money. People are coming to him because they're inquisitive. People are coming to him because they want knowledge. In the beginning, you may have some ulterior motive. Be honest about it. And in the Bhagavatam, it says, Akama Sarvakama Moksha Kama Dara Dita Raina Bhakti Yogena Shaita Purusha Param, that whatever your desire is, just reveal it to Krishna. Reveal it to Krishna. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he revealed his desire to Krishna, and then he ultimately attained pure devotional service. So those are the offenses. And to really come to the stage of pure devotional service, it is required to study Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastika. Each and every verse of the Shikshastika refers to a different stage in devotional service, and also some of the acharya state refers to a different time in Krishna's day, the Ashtakali Lila. So study the Shikshastika to understand these things. Then, if one really wants to make super fast advancement, that means on the fast track, then we take hint from what Krishna says in the Gita. One who teaches this Bhagavad Gita to the devotees is most dear to me, and there will never be one more dear to me than he or she who teaches this Krishna consciousness. That means either you teach directly or you help the teaching or spreading of the movement. As Srila Prabhupada did, following the order of his spiritual master, taking the austerity at a very old age, very, because I'm older now, so, but I'm not ready for any austerities, but taking an austerity at a very old age of going to the West to fulfill the desire of a spiritual master to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. Our movement is meant to change the world. And the acharyas won't be fully satisfied until the Supreme Court justices are wearing tilak and the President of the United States is wearing tilak. That I want to see. I want to see. But anyway, so yeah, we have a mission, and it's very exciting. Because if you think about your purpose in life, you know, everybody should think about why or what is my ultimate purpose? You know, and if the answer is just to make enough money to support myself, that's boring. And so my children will grow up and they'll have children, and then the children will have children, and the children who have children will have children, and the children who have children will, sorry about that. And they'll have children, and I can play with all my great-great-grandchildren until for time immemorial. So, nothing wrong with playing with your grandchildren, but that's not the purpose of life. You know, you want to contribute something to society. When you leave this world, you want to think, I did something. I helped some people in a permanent way. Not just blowing on the boil, so to speak. Because people are suffering because of karma, but actually helping them out of that situation so they can progress. Maybe they won't go back to home, back to God in this life, but so they can make some progress. I mean, that's very satisfying. Oh, charging. Yeah, because it charged the camera. We're still online. But that's actually very satisfying to think like that, that I contributed to someone's eternal happiness, isn't it? Wow. And beyond that, connected with that is I contributed to the pleasure of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who's the founder of Charya for International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and our ultimate source of sometimes the uncle is nicer. Sometimes I'm nicer than the actual. I'm nicer to people who aren't initiated by me. Because now I get some people who don't make initiation today when they hear that one. So, no, we're all part of one family. And that's really Prabhupada's desire. I am a servant of Prabhupada. And that's Prabhupada's desire. Anything else will actually displease Prabhupada. Anything else. Consider, you know, these disciple groups. We're not. I mean, we're all part of the same family. We help each other. Uncles, aunts, God cousins, God sisters, God brothers. What else? Did I miss somebody? No. Great grandparents, great grand godparents, whatever. Tamaha, Tamahi. So anyway, we're all in together. I just see everybody equal. You know, so and I'm just serving Prabhupada by initiating people into Krishna consciousness. It's my service. I am if Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati thought, or is that you think you're a guru, you're a guru. In other words, we're servants. We bharata pada kamala, dasa dasa, dasa dasa. So anyway, so that's without going into further talks about this. That's what initiation is, and we're joining, initiated to become part of this wonderful mechanism, whatever, and movement to carry out Lord Chaitanya Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's mission around the world. And I'm very excited to be part of this mission. I couldn't imagine my life not being part of this mission. We'll always stay within ISKCON, devotees are saying. We'll always stay loyal in ISKCON. We can respect every other religion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that. Every other branch of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we respect them. We fall at their feet. But we are part of Prabhupada's mission. This great mission. My connection with Prabhupada is very strong, as everybody knows. And I'm requesting that of all the devotees here who are taking initiation, just to be connected to Prabhupada as their life and soul. All right, so we will continue. Is that right, Aditya? I actually work for him. Because he's a real Vaishnava. I just make a show of being a Vaishnava. Okay, so we want to first of all call the devotees who were initiated by Radha Govinda Maharaj up to take their vows. And the way, I'll call them one by one, the way we do this is they will offer obeisances to Prabhupada. Of course, they can do that from a distance since there's so many devotees there next to Prabhupada and to the deities. And they come to me at that point, and we'll ask them to recite the four regular principles and how many rounds they're chanting every day. So first, should we call them by their spiritual name now, or? They're wearing not their spiritual name, or what? It's up to you.
I think it'd be good to announce the spiritual name after the both.
First is Rahu and Vavana. And then the deities. Okay. Very nice. So, Raul, what are the four regular principles?
No meditations, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication.
And how many rounds every day?
Minimum 16 rounds.
Minimum 16. And you can chant more on the Padasis, obviously. So you're promising to your spiritual master, Radha Govinda Maharaj, and to his finder, Srila Prabhupada, and your name, and you've already got your beads, right?
Yeah, they're
coming. Your name is Rohini Nandana Das. Rohini And Ravana, what are the four regulative principles?
No meat-eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication.
And have how many rounds every day?
16 rounds every day.
And try to chant more in the Kadasi if you can. And so, your name is Vava Mai Devi Das. Very nice. Very, very nice. Congratulations. Alright, Shivali is next. Where is she? Oh, there she is. Okay, and so she's initiated by Radha Govinda Maharaj. And so, what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling.
Okay, how many rounds every day?
Minimum 16 rounds, Maharaj.
Yeah, and if you can't chant more in Kavasthi.
Yes.
It's very wonderful. So your name, given to you by Radha Govinda Maharaj, is Shri Radhe Devi Das. Okay, and very nice. Radha Govinda Maharaj is a wonderful devotee. This is a wonderful devotee. So next is Krishna Mohan, followed by his wife. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Gauranga.
Okay, so Mr. Mohan, what are the four regular principles?
No mating, no intoxication, no sex, no illicit sex, okay. And no gambling.
Gambling. And how many rounds?
Minimum of 16.
Minimum of 16, and try to chant more on the codicil. Usually it's good to chant 25, if you have time. You know, obviously, sometimes you're working. On the codicil, I try to chant 64 rounds if I don't have to go to work that day. Unfortunately, because of COVID, I have to work every day. Before COVID, I could just work GBC meetings when I went there.
Okay.
And now, because of this wonderful Zoom, my workday begins some days at 4 o'clock in the morning till late at night. And like tomorrow morning, I have to attend a marriage in India. It will last 3 hours and begins at 3:30 in the morning. I'll go to Bangalore to do that. No, it won't be an eclipse there. Yeah, there it's all right. All right, so here you get your beads with your right hand. Your name now is Mohanananda Das. Okay, and okay, so what are the four regular principles?
No be cheating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication.
And how many rounds did you do?
Minimum 16
rounds, and try to chant more in the costume if you can. See what's practical, but it's what I experience is when I chant 64 rounds, my whole life changes. And it's just like, then the next day, chanting 16 rounds is like just the beginning, basically. So it really sets up a pattern. But I'm not saying you have to change 64 rounds, but it does create a different mood in devotional service. So, let's see. Oh, here's your name. Your name now, please with your right hand, is Lavanga Manjari Devi Das. She's one of the Manjari, not that you are, but you're a servant of one of the Manjari Gopis, the young girls who serve Radha Krishna. Very nice. Okay. And next is Sarojini. Some of the elder devotees, I'm not going to ask about the regular principles, at least the most sexual. That's probably just asked for the rounds. Be like if I was taking the dishes.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. I just asked you about the rounds. How many rounds every day? Kitna rounds?
16 rounds every day.
Okay. And you're chanting more, right, usually?
Yeah.
Someone said you were chanting 100 rounds. Maybe you should be giving me a shake. Okay, you can come closer because I can't throw beads. Get the beads with your right hand. Your name now, this is the name of Radharani, is Surangi Devi Das. Surangi means she has beautiful limbs, which is what Rani. Surangi Devi Das Pujai. And next is Smarana. It's very encouraging to see your second, third generation devotees take initiation. It's just like, it's ecstatic. Because we know that there's a future. And actually, before you offer obeisances, please offer obeisances to your mother and father.
Shambhaka Vlada Auntie.
So all these devotees are working together for the purpose of serving Srila Prabhupada. Very good dancer. Thank you for dancing.
Thank you.
Okay, so what are the four regular principles?
No gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication.
That's good, you remember that.
Yeah, I'm going to forget.
My mother said she'd be nervous. And how many rounds?
Minimum 16.
Minimum 16. Try to jam more in the Kadashi. Study. Pursue your education. Don't become a fanatic devotee. Get as much education as you can while you're young. It's very important. Okay. So, you can go for us to get the bees. The bees are scared of me. So, actually, do you want smaller bees or bigger bees? I got two sets here.
Smaller.
Okay. They're not that small. So this is a very special name. There's no one in the movie who has this name.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and I checked it with my Sanskrit experts to make sure it was all right. Because it's just, I just checked it all over. Nobody has this name. Okay, so hit the bees with your right hand. Your name now is Radha Smarna. Not the name of a specific gopi, but it's the name indicates she's the servant, Radha Smarna Devi, Dasi, Radha Devi, because it's the name of a particular remembering Srimati Radharani, and also it indicates, according to Sanskrit experts, who I'm not, it also indicates she who is the servant of Radharani who remembers Krishna. Remembering of Krishna. Pretty special name, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I checked to see if I knew anyone else who had that name. I couldn't find anyone. The whole world. The way I check is on Facebook. And also Prabhupada's database, and all these different databases. But it is a bona fide name. It's really beautiful. Right? I just inspired by it. Okay, so on that happy note, we can continue.
Yes, ma'am.
Congratulations to everybody.
Arriba!